Morning. Today's daf is Lamed Hey in Shabbos. Today's topic of discussion, for the most part, will be Bein HaShemashos. It is a day in Shas, which is really dedicated to the topic of Bein HaShemashos. We're going to go on a couple of tangents, but primarily our topic of the day will be Bein HaShemashos. We already were introduced to the topic yesterday. As the Mishnah taught us, in the middle of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, you might as well just turn there because that's what we're starting today. In the middle of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says that around the house, Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, so there are certain things that you have to ensure. You have to ensure that you took off Trumas HaMaisros. You have to make sure that you made Eruv Chaseros, Eruv Eitchumim. Go back to yesterday's daf for a review of that. And you have to make sure that the Shabbos light were lit, because on Shabbos itself, it's obviously a malacha daraisa to light your Shabbos light, and so therefore you have to light it before Shabbos begins, and not only before Shabbos begins, but even before it's questionably Shabbos. Well, when does it become questionably Shabbos? That's called Bein HaShemashos. There's this period in time where the day transitions into night, and during this period of time, it's a suffix. We're not sure whether it's day or whether it's night or whether it's both. Okay, stay tuned as I'll try to explain that a little bit later on. Safik chashecha, safik ina chashecha. The Mishnah went on to say, this is just a simply review from yesterday. What if it's a state of doubt, meaning I do not know whether it's day or night, meaning it's during this Bein HaShemashos period. So you can't take off Trumas HaMaisros, you can't tovel the Kalim, remember I mentioned this yesterday, you certainly can light your light, because now you're talking about possibility that it's Shabbos. But what you could do is you could take off Trumas HaMaisros off Demai, you can make an Eruv, remember we learned yesterday, we're talking about Eruv Chatzeros, and Tom Nesacham, and then you can insulate. Okay. So today, the first topic we do today is insulation. So we are on the bottom of the Amud, we're on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom at the two dots, and we begin with the Gemara Amar Rava. Now we're talking about Hatman insulation. Now, as we're going to learn over the course of the fourth perek of Shabbos, okay, third perek is Kira, fourth perek is Hatmana, right, by Med Tomnin. Okay, Kira is a long perek. But anyway, the fourth parak of Shabbos is Hatman insulation. Now, let me just give you the ground rules, and then we'll go through the Gemara. And this is, we'll spend more time later in the Masech talking about this at length, but let me just give the basics right now. There is a Gzera Derabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition, not to do Hatmana on Shabbos. Now, what is Hatmana? Hatmana means insulating the food. We're not talking about lighting a fire, and we're not talking about putting food over the fire. We're just simply talking about preservation of the heat. Insulation, right? Basically a thermos. The although thermoses are a different story, because thermos is a liquid that goes into it, it's a cliche. Again, not for now. Right now, just the basics. So can you insulate food on Shabbos? The answer is no. But why not? Meaning I'm just insulating, and I'm insulating. The discussion over here is b'davar she'eino mosif hevel. I'm not insulating with anything that's adding heat. All I'm doing is insulating with something that will preserve heat. Rashi says you can insulate but we're talking about with cotton, with wool, meaning nothing that adds heat, just something that preserves the heat. So on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here, the reason why you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos is a gzeira. And what are we concerned about? What were the Chachamim concerned about? So the Chachamim were concerned that if you start insulating the food on Shabbos, so basically you're going to look at the food, and why are you preserving the heat? Because you thought it was cooked. And you open up the lid, you peek inside, and you realize, oh, this food's not cooked. I'm insulating it. No, I'm not. Forget insulating it. I need to cook it. So in other words, if you get involved in insulation, it'll lead to cooking. Okay, that's why insulation on Shabbos itself is usur. Again, all this is I'm explaining according to Rashi. What about during the Bein HaShemashos period? So as we're going about to learn, that's mutter. You're allowed to insulate during Bein HaShemashos. Now, why? So the Gemara is going to say, because during the Bein HaShemashos period, your food is hot. Meaning that there will be no temptation during the Bein HaShemashos period that if you start insulating, then you're going to start cooking, because that's when the food is hot. Meaning you've been preparing for Shabbos all day. So the food's hot during the Bein HaShemashos period, so therefore there's no Gzera Derabbanan. What about before Shabbos? So before Shabbos, it's fine, obviously. Meaning you're allowed to insulate food before Shabbos. But, you're not allowed to insulate food before Shabbos with something that'll add heat. Something that'll add heat, insulating with Davar HaMosif Hevel, so that's going to be also even before Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain. Again, all this is coming up in the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to explain, because before Shabbos, if I start insulating with something that'll add heat, what substances are we talking about? Coals, coals. So, meaning that basically I take my pot and I kind of like wrap coals around it, or I put it into a pile of coals, right? So then the problem is that these coals obviously were going to start dimming, and then what's going to end up happening is that into Shabbos, I'm going to look at the coals dimming, and I'm going to stoke the coals in Shemi Chatabeka Chalam. So there are really two different Hatmana issues. There's a Hatmana issue of a Davish She'ena Mosif Hevel, which on Shabbos is Aster, Ben Hashmashos is Mutter, and certainly before Shabbos it's fine, it's Mutter. And then there's a Hatmana Bedavar HaMosif Hevel, something which adds heat, which is going to be Aster, obviously on Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos Aster, and even before Shabbos as well, it's going to be Aster.
Rabbi, is Ben Hashmashos begin after our 18 minutes?
Whoa, slow down. Council, that question will be discussed later this morning. It's okay. The Gemara reads, Amar Rava Mimnei Ma Amru Ain Tomnim B'Davar She'ena Mosif Hevel Misha Chashecha Gzemer Shem Yartiach. Okay, the concern is Shem Yartiach, and again, the way I presented it is the way Rashi explains it, is that you're going to take a look at the food. The food's not fully cooked, and you're going to end up cooking the food on Shabbos. So Amalei Abayach and Ben Hashmashos Nami Nigzer. If you're right, so then the Gzera should extend even to the Ben Hashmashos period. So Amalei Stam Kederes Rosro say, well, the food during Ben Hashmashos is generally hot and boiling and bubbling, and so therefore there's no concern. The Amar Rava, and now we get to turn the Amud Beis. Mimnei Ma Amru Ain Tomnim B'Davar Amosif Hevel Va'afil Mi Ba'od Yom. How about doing Hatmana with something that adds heat, meaning like doing Hatmana with coals? So the Gemara says, no, Gzera Shamayat Mimber Emet Sheyesh Bo Gacheles. So though, because what you may end up doing is you may end up insulating with coals, and Amalei Abaye V'Yatmin, Gzera Shamayat Chatebi Gachalem. And the concern is that if you do that, you're going to end up stoking the coals on Shabbos itself. Okay. That is a word on Hatmana. Again, we come back to Hatmana later on in the Masechta, and we move to today's topic. Tana Rabbanan starts with a Braisa Ben Hashmashos. Now, this period of Ben Hashmashos, right now I'm not talking about when it is, because that's a discussion in of itself, which will take place in the Gemara momentarily. Right now we're talking about what Ben Hashmashos is, meaning, how do we look at it? Again, it's that transitional period between day and night. It's not day, it's not night, it's something in between. So the Gemara gives now, the Braisa gives three possibilities. Number one, Safik Min Hayom. Umin Ha Laila. It could be that it's day and night. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two, Safik Kulo Min Hayom. It could be that it's all day. And possibility number three, Safik Kulo Min Halayla. Or it could be that it's all night. Now I'm not trying to confuse you, and neither is the Braisa trying to confuse you. I know the Ben Hashmashos topic is a confusing topic. But think about it, though, we are talking about confusion. So if you're confused while we're talking about confusion, that's fine. But in other words, what is the Braisa saying is that there are really three distinct possibilities of what it could be. Could be day, could be night, could be both. Now, Matil no, so I'll come back, we'll discuss that better in just a moment. Matil no, so the Chomer Shnei Yamim. And so therefore you have to give it the Chomer of 2 days, meaning, because it could be day and it could be night, or it could be both. So consequently, what that is going to mean is that if you experience something during Ben Hashmashos, it could be that that experience actually covers the gamut of 2 days. Or it could be that it covers the gamut of 1 day, we just don't know which day it is. The Ezu Ben Hashmashos, okay, good. That's all description of Ben Hashmashos. We'll come back and we'll analyze that more in just a moment. Now let's talk about when Ben Hashmashos is. Now this Braisa, we're going to go through this Braisa, I'm telling you right now, at this point, as we go through the Braisa for the first time, it's really not going to help you. It will give you some understanding of how long this Ben Hashmashos period is, and when this Ben Hashmashos period is, but only a little bit. I read, Ve'ezu Ben Hashmashos Mishitishka Achama, from the time that the sun sets, Kol Zman Shepenei Mizrach Ma'adimim, now you're looking towards the sky. Now it sounds like from the Gemara you're looking towards the east. Now wait a second. Even I know that the sun does not set in the east, the sun sets in the west.
But
okay.
The reddening of the sky is in the east.
Oh, okay, fine. So now, Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. Okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss that very point. Stay tuned. Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, we'll look at the reddened eastern sky. I'm just right now translating the words of the Gemara. Hichsif achtachtum velo hichsif alayon ben hashmashos. Now, if it's a partial darkening, hichsif, the word hichsif means to darken. Actually, it means to be embarrassed, but okay, we're talking about the darkening of the sky. So when the bottom of the horizon is dark, but the upper part of the horizon is not dark, that's that Beinash Mashos period. However, when both parts of the sky now become dark, Zehulayla Divrei Rav Yehuda, that's night according to Rav Yehuda. Opinion number one, according to this Braisa, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Tana, is that the Beinash Mashos period is extending as long as there is some redness in the sky. Once there's no redness in the sky, so then the Beinash Mashos period is now over and it's officially night. Tseisa Kochavim. Right now, we're giving quantifying numbers without giving numbers. So obviously that's very tricky, that's very difficult. Stay tuned, we'll talk more about this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda later on. The time that it takes after the sun sets to walk a half a mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer. It's generally gauged that it takes about 18 minutes to walk a mil, approximately. So we're talking about half a mil, so we're talking about approximately 9 minutes after the sun sets. That is the opinion of Reb Nechemia. That's the second opinion. And finally, Reb Yossi, Omer, Bein HaShmashos is clarifying. So Reb Yossi says that the duration of Bein HaShmashos is nothing. Well, not nothing, but clarifying is the blink of an eye. It's for super quick, fraction of a second. Zenichnas v'yezeyotze v'yevshar la'amod alav. Now, because it's so quick, so you can't even pinpoint when exactly this Bein HaShmashos period is. It's, in other words, to gauge when to enter, when you entered and exit the Beit HaShmashos period, well, that's about as easy as gauging the blink of an eye. Now, this third opinion of Rav Yossi is really not clear, because although Rav Yossi tells us how long Beit HaShmashos is, he does not tell us when Beit HaShmashos is. Meaning, when is this blink of an eye? Is it prior to sunset, after sunset, long after sunset? We simply don't know at this point in the Gemara. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa. So did that make Beinash Mashos clear to everybody?
No.
Maybe. It's a starting point, meaning you got to start somewhere. So that's where we start. We started with a Braisa. And so for the remainder of today's daf, what we're going to do now is analyze this Braisa. So we are, the first part of the Braisa actually is not up for debate, meaning what the first part of the Braisa wants to know, what is Beinash Mashos? And that's easy. It's either day, it's night, or it's both. That's what Bein HaShmashos is. When Bein HaShmashos is, that's a more tricky issue because there are three opinions in the Braisa. So, in other words, we have to do two things. We have to, A, actually try to figure out what each position is actually saying, and then B, if we can, try to then further qualify who we follow like of those three opinions. Okay, so we have a work cut out for us. Amamar. We give it the chumrah of both days. Meaning this Bein HaShmashos period, because it's day, it could be day, or it could be night, or it could be both. So therefore, we're going to give it the chumrah of both days. Lamai hilchasa now. That's very nice conceptually. But in the world of Gemara, we don't like to conceptualize so much. We like to know, how does it practically affect us? Lamai hilchasa, am Rav Huna, b'rei d'Rav Yeshua, le'inyan tuma. So it would affect us in the world of Tuma. Kedidnan, as we learned in the following Mishnah. Now, before we learn this Mishnah together, let's remind each other. We're talking about Tumas Zav. We're talking about a man having a Zav discharge. Now, for a one-time discharge of a man having Ziva, so he becomes Tame, but that's it. Meaning, then he'll Tov on the Mikvah, he'll wait till night, and he'll be Tahor. What if he has two Ziva discharges, two Re'iyas? So then he has to count seven Shivanakim. Now for a man it's slightly different than for a woman, because for a woman it has to be two discharges on two separate days. For a man it could be two discharges on two separate days, but it could also be two discharges even on the same day. Okay. Either way it would result in Shivanakim. He has to count seven clean days, clean meaning no discharges for seven consecutive days. Afterwards he tovels in the mikvah, and then actually he tovels in the mikvah on the seventh day, and then wait till nightfall. Okay. And then what if he has three consecutive discharges? So for the man who has three consecutive discharges, he's going to have to count Shivanakiyim, and on the eighth day, bring a carbon. Good. Those are the ground rules. Now that we have the ground rules down, so now we can understand how Bein HaShmashos would affect. Rosh Neyamim Bein HaShmashos. So, Safek Latuma Ula Karbon. If he saw on two consecutive days two Bein HaShmashoses. It didn't come out right, but hopefully you understand. Meaning on two Bein HaShmashoses back to back, so he saw he had a Re'iyah. The Suffolk L'Tumah L'Karbon, so now it'll be a Suffolk for both Tumah and for Karbon. Now, allow me try to explain this. Meaning, let's say that on Wednesday evening and Thursday evening, and when I say evening, I mean Bein Hashmashos for both of those times. So this man had a Re'iyah. So now what? So now I'm going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi. Tosfos over here is really troubled by Rashi, but for now, in the Daf Yomi world, I'll just present it like Rashi. So now this man had a Re'iyah on Wednesday night and on Thursday night. So now, and again, I don't mean night. I mean evening. I mean Bein Hashmashos. So that Wednesday Re'iyah Bein Hashmashos. So what could that be? Well, it could be that that was reflective of that he had a Re'iyah on Wednesday or Thursday or both. Now, so in other words, so basically, so you could put him down for two. Okay. Now that's Thursday. So what is that Thursday? Well, that Thursday could be Thursday or Friday or both. But in other words, but it could be any one of those three possibilities. So now that it could be any one of those three possibilities, so now what you have basically is the following. It could be that he's off with three consecutive Re'iyahs. Right? Everyone see that? In other words, because it could be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It could be that he's Zazav with only two consecutive Re'iyahs, because it could be Wednesday, Thursday, and then that Thursday could be all flushed to Friday. Okay? Or it could be that he only had one Re'iyah, meaning not two consecutive, because the one that he had on Wednesday evening could be just simply Wednesdays. The one that he had on Thursday evening could be all Friday. So in other words, and with a gap of a day in the middle, so in other words, that a gap in the day in the middle does not combine the two Re'iyahs. So in other words, because Bein Hashmashos are three distinct possibilities, so now what can come out now is that this man who had a Re'iyah on two consecutive Bein Hashmashos, so now it could either be three consecutive, two, or just one and one, with a separation of a day in the middle. Okay? And so because of all that, everything he's doing now is going to be a suffix. He'll count Shiv and Akim, but only out of a suffix. He may not even need to be counting Shiv and Akim. He'll bring a carbon, but only because of a suffix. He's not even sure if he needs to bring a carbon. So Bein Hashmashos brings about this state of suffix. Okay. Good. The Gemara continues, suffix l'tumah l'carbon. Ra yom echad Bein Hashmashos, suffix l'tumah. Now what if he only saw one Bein Hashmashos period? So now, at best, it could be suffix latuma, which means that this could really, in fact, be two consecutive days, because the Bein Hashmashos could be both Wednesday and Thursday of Wednesday evening. Okay. Good. So that is so. So now we understand what Bein Hashmashos is.
But since the concept of tuma, is it tuma b'yachid or b'tziwit? It's b'yachid, right?
Well, right.
So it's, meaning, there's suffix about it. It's got to be a latuma, right?
I mean, in other words, we are machmir on the man. We absolutely are machmir on the man. He does have to bring a car. If it's a possibility of three, he doesn't need to bring carbon. If it's a possibility of two, he needs to count Shiv and Akim. Yes, we'll be machmir on the individual, for sure. Okay, that is what Bein Hashmashos is. And now, and that's the easy part of today's daf. And by the way, I gave you a simple version of it. Please take a look at Tosos. Tosos is bothered by Rashi. Okay, not for now, but another time. And now we get on to the more difficult part of today's daf, which is, when is this Bein Hashmashos period? So here's what we now know. We quoted a braisa. The braisa offered for us three opinions. Rav Yehuda, Rav Nechemya, and Rav Yossi. Again, just simply to review, Rav Yehuda says that it's basically predicated on the reddening of the sky. Rav Nechemya says it's the amount of time that it takes to walk a half a mil, which is about 9 minutes. After Shkia Sachama, and then there's the opinion of Rav Yossi, it's terrifying. Okay? The blink of an eye. Good. We will be spending most of our time analyzing the opinion of Rav Yehuda. As the Gemara later on will point out, that's the accepted halacha. The halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, vis-a-vis Shabbos. Okay. So this is obviously going to play an important...
And also with the Zav and everything?
Well, no, because the Zav discussion is not when it is, but what it is. What it is, everyone agrees to. It's suffix, meaning it's a state of suffix, not just a suffix, but with three distinct possibilities. It may be all day, it may be all night, it may be a combination of the both, of the two. But now we discuss when Bein Hashmashos period is, so we start off with first analyzing the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Sorry, where'd I go? Haguf Akasha. Amar Ezu Bein Hashmashos Mishat Tishka Achama Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. Another simple deek in the Braisa is that when it gets dark, when the horizon gets dark, literally the bottom, Okay, but what we're talking about is the horizon of the sky gets dark, but even though the top does not get dark, that's already night. But then the Braisa goes on to say, but then the Braisa says that if the horizon is dark, but the rest of the sky is still light, it's Benash Mashos. So the Gemara to this is going to have now two explanations of the Braisa. They're really not going to be radically different from one another, a subtle difference between the two opinions. The two opinions are going to be two Amarayim. We start off with Rabba. Amar Rabba. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Kruch v'tini. When you teach the Braisa, what you got to do is you got to contract the Braisa because you read it, we meaning part of the Gemara, read it wrong in our original look at it. Look. Ezu ben Hashmashos mishitishka achama. When does base ben Hashmashos start? It starts with Shias achama, meaning the sun setting. Calls Mansha Panay Mizrach Ma'adimin, the Hirsif Atachta Vlohirsif Ayon, Nami Beinash Mashos. And what the Braisa is simply doing is talking now about the extension of Beinash Mashos, meaning that once the sun sets, we are now in Beinash Mashos territory. And it continues. And even as the horizon gets dark, but the sky is still red, it's still Beinash Mashos. And then once the entire sky becomes dark, both horizon and the top part of the sky becomes dark, now it's night. Good. That is one interpretation of the Braisa. That's Rabba's interpretation of the Braisa, and specifically Rabbi Yehuda. Number two is Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Hachi Ketani. Now I say it's Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. If you read it carefully, you see that they're both quoting Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel. So it must be that they're... Well, it must have been some break in the communication between the two Amoraim and what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel actually said. Anyway, Ketani Mishitishka Achama Kozman Shepanei Mizrach Ma'adim Em Yom. Even immediately after sunset, it's still day. Meaning we haven't even entered the Benash Mashos period. And then, Hechsef Atachtav Alo Hechsef Ayon Benash Mashos. And only once part of the sky starts darkening, now we entered into Benash Mashos period. So in other words, basically... It's the same basic idea, it's just that Benash Mashos doesn't start immediately at sunset, it's a little bit after sunset. And when the sky becomes totally dark, so now it's night, definitely night. Now, so basically what we have over here is a very, very minor debate between Rabbi and Rav Yosef in terms of not even when the Benash Mashos period ends. We all know, when the sky is dark. I know that's very vague, but that's right now what we're saying. When the sky's dark, Benash Mashos period has ended. It's only a question of when the Benash Mashos period actually begins, and it's really small. The difference between the two positions is really small. One says it starts at sunset, and one says it starts a little bit after sunset. Now, the Azul Tamayu, the Idmar Shir Benash Mashos Bekama, how long is this Benash Mashos period? So finally, we're actually going to get now...
It doesn't say when Benash Mashos starts. The second opinion.
Correct. But right now we're going to see. So Benash Mashos Bekama. So how long is this period going to be? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shlosha Chalkei Mil. So it's going to be three parts. Now I'm going to tell you right now, it means three quarters. Okay, it'll take the Gemara a couple lines to get to that conclusion, but that's what it means. It means three quarters. My Gimel Chalkei Mil, Ilim Metalse Palge. So it doesn't mean three halves. So Mila name. I'm sorry. Palge Mila name a Mil Mechsa. So it can't mean three halves because then the way to express it would not be three parts, but one and a half. El Tilsa Tilsa. So does it mean three thirds? Well, Mila name a Mil. Well, I hope you know three thirds actually means a Mil. So it doesn't mean that as well. Ella talsa riva. So what it means is three quarters. I'm sorry, talsa rivai mila. So it means three quarters of a mil. Okay? So the amount of time it takes three quarters of a mil. So again, let's work with our numbers. That means if a mil, it takes, sorry. If it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, so three quarters of 18 now is 13 and, 13 and a half. Okay. I know it's not a round number, but basically 13 and a half minutes. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chalkei Mil. Not 13 and a half, I'm sorry, not three quarters of a mil, but two thirds of a mil. So my Shnei Chalkei Mil. Now, again, I jumped the gun. I said two thirds of a mil. He didn't say that. He just simply said two parts. So what does he mean? It can't mean two halves, because two halves is a full mil. Ela trei rivai. Well, maybe it means two quarters, but two quarters is a half. Ela trei tilsei mil. So what he means by that is two thirds. Okay. So now, the difference is, the difference between 3/4 of a mil versus 2/3 of a mil. My benayu ka benayu paga dedanka. And what the difference is between 3/4 and 2/3. Okay, so, and if you're not clear about how to arrive at those numbers, you really need to review your 5th grade math, 6th grade math, right there, thereabouts. Yeah, about 6th grade. So anyway, so it comes out to a 12th, right? The Gemara describes it as a half of a 6th. But half of a 6th is a 12th. Okay, I made a little flow chart over here in my Gemara, because I also needed to go back to my 6th grade math. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see if we can be clear about this now. Because the Gemara is about to go off on a tangent, so before we go off on the tangent, so let's be clear. We now have quantified how long the Bein HaShemashos period is, and in addition to that, we've also identified when it actually begins and when it actually ends. And again, all this is within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Right now, we are currently discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is important because, as the Gemara later on will say, that's the halacha vis-a-vis Shabbos. Okay. How long is the Bein HaShemashos period? So it's subject to a debate, but it's really between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, but it's really small, meaning it's only 1/12 of a mil that separates the two positions. It's either going to be 3/4 of a mil, which is 13 and a half minutes, or it's going to be 2/3 of a mil, which is going to be 12 minutes. Okay?
But latitude has to play a part in that also. You're closer to the
Okay. Slow. Step by step. Now, we're not there yet. Okay. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get there, but step by step. So 13 and a half minutes or 12 minutes. Now, if you're following the Gemara well, they're both ending at precisely the same time. It's just a question of when the Bein HaShemashos period begins. Does it begin at sunset? Or does it begin a little bit after sunset? And now, as I can work backwards now, so you could see that how much are we talking about after sunset? A minute and a half. Now, I don't know if you're following me well, but in other words, they both end 13 at this juncture of when the sky is dark. And according to Rabbah, that's 13 and a half minutes after sunset. So now if I work backwards, 13 and a half minutes after sunset. So now Rabbah says, no, the whole period, sorry, other way around. Rabbah says 13 and a half minutes. Rav Yosef, who says that's 12 minutes, so now that it's 12 minutes working backwards, means that it's a minute and a half just after sunset. Wonderful. Comes out now, based on what we're suggesting, not suggesting, but the way we're explaining the Gemara, is that now, I'll ask you, how does the day work? The sun sets. Good. Now we've entered into the Bein HaShemashos period. Good. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, 13 and a half minutes later, Bein HaShemashos is now officially over. It's night. That's the Gemara Kipshuto. That's a simple pshat of the Gemara. Now, first of all, there are two issues. There's a reality issue, and then there's a halacha issue. First of all, the reality issue. When you go outside and you look 13 and a half minutes after sunset, it's not dark. Okay? I know this because my kids, thank God, play outside. And 13 and a half minutes after sunset, it's hard to argue. It's time to come in. It's too dark. It's not really too dark. It's still light outside. So there's a reality issue of the fact that after 13 and a half minutes after sunset, it's not dark. Okay, that's an issue, and interestingly enough, that's not really the issue I want to spend so much time dealing with. It's an issue, definitely. The other issue is going to be the issue of, and by the way, it's that issue is discussed in the realm of halacha. Not in the Gemara, but obviously in the realm of halacha. The other issue, however, is the fact, and Tosos deals it with over here at Lamed Hamad Aleph, and it's the Tosos Trei Tilsei Mil, where the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Tzadi Dalid, right, 94 in Psachim, quotes in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, how long is the Bein HaShemashos period? So he writes over there in Psachim, 4 mil. 18 times 4, that's 72 minutes after sunset. And so now, the problem is really simple. We have an argamar in Shabbos, meaning basically there are two places in Shas where the Gemara takes up this issue of Bein HaShemashos. Right here on today's daf, on daf Lamed Dal, Lamed Hey, and the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara over here says that Bein HaShemashos period is 13 and a half minutes. According, again, all this according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara, so that means that 13 and a half minutes after sunset, it is night. The Gemara in Pesachim says it's 72 minutes after sunset. That's when the Bein HaShemashos period has come to a formal end, a formal conclusion. And so now what we're left to struggle with is, how do you reconcile these two Gemaras? Okay, so there it will start, right, so Tosfos over here deals with it. You see the beginning of Tosfos? Kashu da ha-chamashman de mishkes ha-chamad ha-layla leka e'la tals revi'im mil. From our Gemara, it sounds like it's only 13 and a half minutes from sunset to night. V'Rabbi Yehuda gufe b'psachim b'perek mishaya tame, and Rabbi Yehuda himself says in the Gemara b'psachim, sabe de mishkiyas ha-chama at tzeis ha-kochavim arba milim, v'tzeis ha-kochavim laylahu. From sunset until tzeis ha-kochavim takes a total of 72 minutes.
That's a big difference.
Okay, and that's a 57 and a half minute difference between the two. Okay, so how do we reconcile? So there are going to be two basic approaches to reconciliation, and this is going to make a big difference in terms of halach lamasa. Okay, reconciliation number one is that of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, stick with the Gemara Pesachim over there. Right? That's where all the action is happening. Meaning, according to Rabbeinu Tam, nighttime, Tzeis HaKochavim, is 72 minutes after Shkiyas HaChama. Okay? You probably heard this at one point or another in your life. Meaning, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's 72 minutes. So in other words, when the sun sets on Saturday night, you still got some time. How much time? 72 minutes. Until it is nighttime. Good. That's a Gemara Pesachim. Fine. What about our Gemara? Meaning our Gemara says very clearly that the whole Bein HaShemashos period is 13 and a half minutes. So Rabbeinu Tam says, and this is a big chiddush, Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, but if you read our Gemara carefully, our Gemara says, Misha Tishka HaChama. Meaning that there are actually two sunsets. Now, this is a big chiddush, obviously. There are two sunsets. There's what's called the visible sunset, meaning that's when we actually no longer see the sun. But that's not the halachic sunset. The halachic sunset takes place later. When later? 57 minutes later. Meaning that there is a point which is not visible to you and me, where that is the halachic shkiyas hachama. And it's, even though the sun setting to us is when the sun is no longer visible, but, argues Rabbeinu Tam, but we still have the effects of the sun, meaning it's still light outside, haraya. Go outside tonight right after sunset, and the sky will be bright. So in other words, when the halachic shkiyas hachama is when the effects of the sun are starting to really lose its potency. When does that occur? Approximately 57 minutes after sunset. Now you enter into the Bein HaShemashos period, and then 13 and a half minutes later, now it's night. According to Rabbeinu Tam now, here's how the day comes to an end.
So the 57 and a half minutes, what is he called that?
Right. So that's just what I was about to clarify. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that now means that when the sun sets, still day. Still day. Meaning the next 57 minutes after the sun setting, we're still in daytime. Not Bein HaShemashos, not Safek, it's day. Now you enter into the 13 and a half minutes from minute 57 to minute 72. Now you enter into those 13 minutes, or according to Robert, 12 minutes. Either way, the last 12 or 13 and a half minutes, now that's the Bein HaShemashos period. And then after that, at the 72nd minute, after sunset, now it's Laila, now it's Tzeis HaKochavim, and now it's night. Good. If you take Rabbeinu Tam to its logical conclusion, obviously what that would mean is that at the end of Shabbos, you'd have to wait 72 minutes before you could do Malacha. Okay. And there are a lot of very holy Jews who do that. What it would also mean, if you took Rabbeinu Tam to his logical conclusion, is that on the onset of Shabbos, so when does Shabbos actually begin? Not at sunset. Shabbos actually will begin 57 minutes after sunset. So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you'd be allowed to light candle, cook, do all the malacha well after the sun sets. Right. So in other words, wait one second. Good. That would all be according to Rabbeinu Tam. Now we move to the other position. We'll call it the Gra, it could be that the Rishonim already talk about it, but we'll call it the opinion of the Gra, and the Gra says no. The Gra says, in terms of reconciliation of these two Gemaras, the Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara Pesachim, the Gra says our Gemara. Our Gemara is the precedent Gemara, the chief Gemara that talks about the Bein HaShemashos period. So that means, when does Bein HaShemashos begin? At sunset. Which sunset? The one that you and I call sunset. Right? The one that sometimes, people go on a boat in order to see the sunset. Right? The visible sunset. That's now the beginning of Bein HaShemashos. And then it extends 13 and a half minutes, and then after 13 and a half minutes, now it's night. Now it is problematic, according to the Gra, that you go out 13 and a half minutes after sunset, and it's still light outside, and it's not night. That's a problem. But in other words, and now, I'm not going to deal with it for now, but in other words, that is the understanding of the Gra. And it could be that according to the Gra, that you adjust based on where you are positioned on the earth, a latitude on the planet. And Rav Moshe, that's how Rav Moshe gets to his numbers. In other words, nowadays, you know what we do nowadays? Neither. We don't do neither. I mean, a lot of people follow Rabbi Natan. But in other words, at the conclusion of Shabbos, we're neither like Rabbi Natan, we're neither like the Gra, we're somewhere in the middle. That middle was kind of adjusted by Rav Moshe.
Okay.
60 minutes after Licht, which is about 40 minutes after sunset. So we're somewhere in the middle.
Do you know what Rambam and Rush, anybody else live in
there? Right. So in other words, Nobody speaks it. First of all, nobody speaks it out as clearly as Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Gra, he's the strongest opponent to Rabbeinu Tam. So that's why I call this a machlok. This is classic.
In Masechet Pesachim, when he talks about it, what is the context?
Correct. That's an excellent point. Part of the Gra's very strong position and argument with Rabbeinu Tam is that our Gemara is speaking halachically, the Gemara Pesachim is speaking agadically.
Mm.
And that's part of the Gra's, that's a great question, that's part of the Gra's strong opposition to Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, if we're having a halachic discussion, look here in Shabbos before looking at the Gemara Pesachim. Okay. Good. And how does the Gra understand the Gemara Pesachim? So as I just explained, meaning the Gemara over there has got more agadic in nature. Practically speaking, Lamasa. So what do we do? So generally speaking, for the onset of Shabbos, we all follow the Gra, meaning Sfard, Ashkenaz, right, Hasidic, whoever else you want to include in the category of Jew. Are there any real purists, Rabbeinu Tam purists out there? Maybe, but generally speaking, no. Right. Certainly, the Mishnah Berurah couldn't be any clearer. In other words, Shabbos starts at sunset. Okay. We follow the Gra on the onset of Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos, there are many people who take on the position of Rabbeinu Tam and are machmir for the position of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay.
So if you follow the Gra, mm-hmm. What is that 18 minutes after the camp? What's that 18 minutes that you have to
before? What do you mean before? 18 minutes before sunset.
Right. But the thing is that our candlelight time, is it before Bein HaShemashos?
Our candlelight time is in other words, we light 18 minutes before sunset.
Right.
So that's before sunset.
You have those 18 minutes and then another 13 and a half minutes according to Gra before Shabbat starts.
But remember though, it's important. After sunset, now you've entered into Bein HaShemashos. So you can't light during Bein HaShemashos, right? Remember the Mishnah? Right, you can. Correct. So you can't light during Bein HaShemashos. It's a suffix. But yeah, according to the Gra, it doesn't start until actual sunset. Now, many people use and abuse those 18 minutes.
What's the point? Who came with the 18 minutes?
Though? Right. A discussion in of itself. The simple answer right now, for now, is that Tosefet Shabbat, meaning we just want to add to Shabbos. Why the number 18? There may be some magic to the number 18. In Yerushalayim, they do 40 minutes. Right? Mm-hmm. In other words, the simple answer to the question is Tosefet Shabbos. We want to add to Shabbos, which is a mitzvah in of itself. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent, and let's see how much we can cover. V'chilufa b'chalta, da'amar rabba, chalta bastre kure shar l'tatule, uvastalta kure asal l'tatule. We're talking about a large basket. It's really large. Now, the Gemara brings this discussion of the basket and moving the basket, whether it's a kli or whether it's not a kli. Okay, the if it's a kli, you're allowed to move it. If it's not a kli, you're simply not allowed to move it. And there is a maximum dimension to what is a kli, meaning it comes a point in time where this basket is so large, we no longer have the right to call it a kli. Okay, so what is that maximum shear? So it's 40 saw. Okay, basically the minimum dimension of a mikvah, a kosher mikvah. I don't know how that. How much is a kosher mikvah minimum in terms of gallons? I don't know. Okay, good. I'm glad I don't know. So whatever it is, it's 40 saw. Okay. For chilufa bechalta, the amarava chalta bas tre kure charlotte tole. If it can hold two core. Now a core is 30 saa, so two cores, 30 times two, it's 60 saa. If it can hold 60 saa, so you can move it, but bas talta kure asal taltule. But if it can hold three core, you can't move it. Rav Yosef amar bas talta kure nami share bas arba kure asar. And Rav Yosef says it's 3 versus 4. 3 you're allowed to move it, 4 you're not allowed to move it. Amar Abaye by Mine, Tamar Bishas Maisav, Afila Bas Tre Kuri Lo Sharili. Practically speaking, I asked, what if it can hold 2 kur, which is 60 sa'a, and even then he did not allow me to move it because it's just simply too big and it's no longer a kli. Keman ki aitana did not. Now it's based on the following Mishnah. Kaver zakash vekaver zakanim veuvor sfina lachsandres afapishi yeshlam shulayim vehein machzikos memsa'a balach. And now we'll have some basic understanding. Meaning, if it's a container that can hold 40 sa'a liquid, shein kurayin beyavesh tahorin. Which means that if it can hold 40 sa'a liquid, it can hold 60 sa'a solid. Why? So if you can imagine, again, I get to play with your container. Okay, this cup over here holds whatever can hold liquid. When I put solid in here, in other words, let's imagine that I'm putting in the powder so I can have it heap over the top. And the Gemara says that the heaping over the top can actually hold more than it could the liquid, because obviously with the liquid, it only gets to hold up to the surface area and no higher. Now, I know this conversation, this discussion, gets more complicated because doesn't it matter how wide it is? And it would seem to be yes. Meaning here, where I have a very narrow container, so I can only heap a certain amount before the whatever I'm heaping kind of slides off the side. And so if I make this container, same volume, but wider, so obviously I can heap more on top of it. Generally speaking, the idea is that if it gets, let's say, to the amount of X liquid, so then I can add another third on solid. Now, you know how fractions work in the Gemara? When I say another third, I mean a third after it's added on, meaning milabar, not milagav. So, for example, I'll give you numbers just to illustrate. So, for example, if it can hold 40 sa'a liquid, it can hold 60 sa'a solid. 60 to 40... Right? In other words, what's a third of 60? 20. What's 60 minus 20? 40. Okay, so it's working backwards. So the Mishnah says, again, let's do this Mishnah inside. Kaveres akashva, kaveres kadim, avor sfina, achsandris, afbi sheishlam shulayim, vein machzikas memsa, balach, shein kurayim, biyavish tahorin. So because it's so large, so therefore it's going to be tahor. Adkan, that is the tangent. The Gemara brings it in over here, simply because Rabban Rav Yosef argue about 2 versus 3, 3 versus 4, much like they argued about how many parts of a mill is benash mashos, but it happens to be inverted. Amar Abaye, Shmamina Haigusha Tilsa Have. Okay, sorry, I should have read that. Right, okay, and okay, so the heap is a third of what is ever below it, the actual heaping part itself. Abai Chazal Rava Dika Davila Maref. Now, Abai saw Rava, and Rava was looking towards the west. Meaning, Rava wanted to know, where are we now? Day, night, or somewhere in the middle? So he's looking to the west. Now, that would have been my general feeling as well, because that's where the sun just set. Amar Leva Atanya Kos Man Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. Now, Abaye said, I'm a little bit confused because remember the Braisa? The Braisa says you look to the east. So why are you looking to the west? Shouldn't you be looking to the east? Amalei Mizrach is Pnei Mizrach Mamish. Lo, Panim HaMa'adimim Es HaMizrach. You're mistaken. You didn't read the Braisa correctly. Or, in other words, you weren't taught how to read the Braisa correctly. It doesn't mean Pnei Mizrach. It means Panim HaMa'adimim Es HaMizrach. It causes the east to be illuminated. But what, obviously, that's the source of that illumination is coming from the west. I'm Rabbi Abba Chazal Abai Dave LeMizrach. So now Rava sees. I'm sorry, Ika de Amre. Okay, second version of the story. Rava Chazal Abai Dave LeMizrach. Rava sees Abai looking to the east. I'm like Misvar Pnei Mizrach Mamish Panim Amadim Es Mizrach V'Simancha Kavasei. You know what it's like? Says the Gemara, it's like a window. In other words, as you look through the window, obviously it's lighting up one side of the house, but we're really talking about the source of where it's coming from. Okay. Adkan. Meaning, we're going to go on, obviously, in the Gemara, but now we have explained the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So, to summarize, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Ben Hashemesh's period is now, after the sun sets, it's going to be while the horizon is still lit. Once the horizon is no longer lit, Bein HaShemashos now has come to an end. Good. How long is that period of Bein HaShemashos? It's either going to be 13 and a half minutes or 12 minutes, depending on whether we go like Rabba or Rav Yosef. Rabba is 13 and a half minutes. Rav Yosef is 12 minutes. Good. The when does the Bein HaShemashos period actually begin? So this is subject to a machlokus between the Rishonim. Can't call the Gra Rishon, but this is subject to a debate. The simple pshat in our Gemara is that Bein HaShemashos period actually begins at sunset and extends for the next 13 and a half minutes. That is the opinion of the Gra. Again, it could be that it gets adjusted based on where you are on the world. Rav Moshe argues that. That's why we kind of live in an adjusted Gra world. So in other words, our Bein HaShemashos period begins at sunset, and then extends more than 13 and a half minutes after that. Good. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it actually is going to end, the Bein HaShemashos period is going to end 72 minutes after sunset, which means that according to him, the Bein HaShemashos period begins approximately 57 minutes after sunset. Okay. Hopefully all that was clear to a certain degree. We go on.
Would that apply to the Friday evening also?
Yeah, in other words, if you're a Rabbeinu Tam purist, so then, your Friday evening, Shabbos doesn't begin until about an hour after sunset. That's if you're a Rabbeinu Tam purist. It's not the normative halacha. The normative halacha is that on the beginning of Shabbos, sunset. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kedei She'al Echad HaMeshitishka Echam Echad Fimel. Now, Am Rabbi Chanina, Harot Eleid HaShira, so Rabbi Nechemya, do you want to know what the shir? Okay. So, you want to know how long the Shir of Reb Nechemi is? Yanir Chama Berosh HaKarmel, V'yered V'yitbol B'yam, V'yala. So, go up to the top of the Carmel Mountain, go down Tova, come back up, and that is the Shir. V'zeh Shirush Reb Nechemi. And that's the Shir of Reb Nechemi. I'm Rabbi Chia, Aretz Aliros Be'erish Miriam. Similarly, you want to see the Be'er Miriam? No problem. Yala L'Rosh HaKarmel, go up to the top of Har Carmel. And you'll see some sort of structure out there in the ocean. And that's the Be'er of Miriam. A movable well. Look, if you understand the Gemara right now, that's great. Then again, if you understand the Be'er Miriam was traveling together with the Jewish people, also great. Meaning, obviously, it doesn't work that way. Wells don't move. The well of Miriam did. If you can envision, if you can imagine a well that moves, it's tahor. Meaning, it will be a valid mikvah. Vizeo Be'er Shem Miriam, and that obviously we're describing the Be'er of Miriam. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Ben HaShemashos, Rav Yehuda, Kohanim, Tov, Limbo. And finally, Okay, now, we know that if a Kohen is Tame, so what's the procedure? It's a very simple procedure. Tovel during the day, and wait till night. Now, this Bein HaShemashos period of Rav Yehuda, Kohanim Ketovel in the mikvah. Now, the Gemara says, slow down. Laman, Ilam Rav Yehuda's Fekehu. Now, you can't be talking about for Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda has just shared with us that The Bein HaShemashah spirit is the Suffolk. They don't tovel at night. They only can tovel during the day. So, Ella Bein HaShemashah is the Rabbi Yehuda li Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, look, from the perspective of Rabbi Yossi, the Bein HaShemashah spirit of Rabbi Yehuda is still daytime. Definitely. Not questionably. So therefore, Kohanim tovel in both. So therefore, the Kohanim can tovel then. Pshita ma'udetem ha-Bein HaShemashah de Rav Yosef. Meisha shayach bid Rav Yehuda. Kamashmalan deshlim Bein HaShemashah de Rav Yehuda. V'adam maschul Bein HaShemashah de Rav Yosef. And what we've just learned is that the Bein HaShemashah period of Rav Yosef is only after the Bein HaShemashah period of Rav Yehuda. So now we have, hopefully, a better picture of the position of Rav Yosef. How long is Bein HaShemashah? Snap of a finger, blink of an eye. When is it? After the Bein HaShemashah spirit of Rabbi Yehuda. So that means that from the perspective of Rabbi Yossi, if you're a Kohen, and you haven't toveled yet in the mikvah, and it's now Bein HaShemashah of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi will tell you, from my standpoint, that's still day.
Which Rabbi Yehuda, the 13 and a half minutes or 57 minutes?
Well, that's a question of how you understand Rabbi Yehuda. However you understand Rabbi Yehuda. But it is a 13 and a half minute period. So after that is the position of Rabbi Yossi. And we finish today with conclusion. Amar Abba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha Rav Yehuda Linyan Shabbos. So vis-a-vis Shabbos, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of what is Bein HaShemashos. Halacha Rav Yossi Linyan Truma, and the Halacha is like Rav Yossi vis-a-vis Truma. Now Bishlam Halacha Rav Yehuda Linyan Shabbos Chumra. Obviously, we're going to be Machmir, meaning we're going to play it safe vis-a-vis Shabbos. Shabbos is an Issa Daraisa with a punishment of Kares and Skila. So therefore, we're going to take the more stringent viewpoint, which is the position of Rav Yehuda. So, which means that the day starts at an earlier point. When is that earlier point? So again, so that's subject to a debate between Rabbi Natan and the Gra, but L'chuleam, according to everybody, it is an earlier point. But, Lein Shabbos, V'alachi Rav Yossi, Lein Yen Shuma, Bishlam, Alachi Rav Yehuda, Lein Yen Shabbos, Chumra. Aval Lein Yen Shuma, Mayhi, Eilema L'tfila Sveikahi. Now, you can't tell me that regarding toveling the mikvah, because that Bein HaShemashah spirit is a suffix. Ela la'achila truma, do'lo ach le'kohanim truma, adishlim Bein HaShemashah to Rav Yossi. What it means is that what we say to the Kohanim are as follows. Kohanim, don't eat your truma until you have to wait past the Bein HaShemashah spirit of Rav Yehuda, which is 13 and a half minutes, and go even past that as well to the point where you get to the Bein HaShemashah spirit of Rav Yossi. Now it is a blink of an eye, but it is after the Bein HaShemashah spirit of Rav Yehuda. Now, ask me how much after? That's a good one. I don't know. So, fine. But in other words, but it's going to be after the period of the Bein HaShemashah of Rav Yehuda. So, essentially, what we're basically telling the Kohanim is, wait a little bit more before you start eating your truma, even past the point of the Rav Yehuda Bein HaShemashah. Okay. Hopefully, I made clear of today's Gemara. Remember, we're talking about confusion. So, it is a little bit confusing. But hopefully I made some sense of today's daf. We'll continue tomorrow.